Everyone has been requesting me to repeat a vitor that I gave you the other night, and so here it is. Why is it that we eat matzah on Pesach? Well, this seems like a very simple question. The text of the Haggadah and the text that we're quite familiar with in the Torah itself seems to provide an ambiguous answer to what seems to be a simple request. We identify matzah right in the beginning of Magid, and we say these words, ha, this, lachma anya, this poor bread, the achlu avasana that our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. What exactly are we identifying matzah as? It seems as if it is the bread, the food that we ate on a regular basis in the land of Egypt. For months, for years, for decades, for centuries, we ate matzah as slaves, because after all, it stays in the field, easy to make, prepared quickly. And so, we are saying that this is the poor bread that we ate during servitude. Then, we identify matzah at another time, at least in the Torah. The night before we left Mitzrayim, we took the matzah with the Korban Pesach and Maror, we wrapped it up together, and we ate it. Then there's the third time we ate matzah. The third time we see matzah is in Rabbi Gamliel at the end of Parshas Bo. What happens? Very simple. The plan was we were going to leave Egypt the very next morning. You know, leave at 9, 10, take it easy. Why should we wake up early? After all, we're finally free. However, in the middle of the night, Paro, wearing his pajamas, throws out Bnei Yisrael. And then, all those doughs that were going to be baked by the boobies, the grandmothers, at 7 a.m., they did not have time to prepare them. So they took them. The Bnei Yisrael took their unbaked doughs with them on their shoulders, as the text explains to us in the Torah. Finally, after they leave the GGA, the Greater Goshen Area, they take those doughs and they bake them. And Hashem tells Moshe, yeah, bake them. No chametz, only matzah. And that is what they did in his place called Sukkotah. That, explains Rabbi Gamliel, is the reason why we eat matzah on Pesach. And so we have to ask ourselves a question. What's going on over here? Is matzah slavery? Is it freedom? The night in between the transition from freedom to slavery? What's going on? I think the answer comes from a very deep idea in the area of psychology. You see, in psychology, when you associate something negatively, you need to do a total change of cognitive rewiring. What you need to do is take something that you associate negatively and somehow affix a positive message to it. I remember my father, Alav Shalom, used to hate having chicken soup with chicken, boiled chicken, when he was an adult, when he was married. Why? Because he grew up poor. And their entire Friday night dinner, or most of it anyways, consisted of boiled chicken with vegetables in their chicken soup. Because it was such a staple in his home, he grew almost to despise it as a poor man's food, as peasant food. It wasn't really that enjoyable. So once he got older and they were able to enjoy other delicacies, it was that boiled chicken that brought back those negative memories. And so maybe that is what Chazal or rabbis are trying to teach us. Don't take the matzah, sweep it under the table, and avoid it, but challenge it, confront it, change your mental processes and your relationship with it. Take the very food item, the matzah itself of slavery and servitude and hard work and toil and frustration, take that same matzah and let's recalibrate it into something of freedom, positive, a mitzvah, a symbol of freedom, of hope, of redemption, of God. I think that, my friends, is a very powerful message, because in life, we often avoid challenges. We sweep them under the table. We disassociate. Perhaps the message of matzah is, take those vices in our lives. Don't sweep them under the table, but transform them into something positive. Recalibrate our relationship to them. And ultimately, we'll be able to properly redeem ourselves and give us that very freedom. And I think it is so true. Sometimes in life, we have these mental images of ourselves and of others, what they could be, what they should be, and I can't even think of them because they hurt me too much. Instead, build something positive. Have positive associations with things that can transform the way you look and associate with everything around you. Don't use them, but avoid them. Take them head on. Take those challenges, confront them. Turn them into a wonderful, positive experience. That's our responsibility. That is our obligation as parents, as teachers, as Jews. I want to end with this. I didn't mention this the other night, but I mentioned it now because I just heard it very, very recently. A beautiful idea. What is Echad Miyodea? We end with children's stories, children's songs, who knows when, I know when. It's silly. You want to tell me it's so that the children will ask? Really? Let them ask all the way. The Seder's over. We finished all the mitzvos the night of the Seder. Then we'll go to sleep. We don't need them awake. Why are we asking who knows when? In the area, once again, of psychology, there's this idea that whatever you think of first, sometimes is really how you look at it and how you associate with it. And so, it's almost like this, an ink blot, the Worcester's test. When you give someone a splotch, how do they interpret it? What comes to mind? So, explains Avraham Shor in his Sefer Leket Ve'Libuv. He says, when you hold up a one on a regular night, what do you think about? One car, one vacation, one place that I want to go to my bucket list. You hold up a three, what do you think about? What do you think about when you have and you play these number associations? What we do the night of the Seder, when you think one, what do you think about? Of course, Avinash Vashamayim, my Father in Heaven. When you hear two, what immediately comes to mind? It should be by the end of the Seder. When you hear two, there's only one thing that comes to mind. Two, of course, the Luchos. Three, when I hear three, of course, my ultimate Zetas. And four, my boobies, my grandmothers, the Memes, the four Imahot. That, my friends, is the challenge of the Seder. We have to be more prepared than our children. And by the end of it, we play the number association. What number will come to mind? Oh, that would be the number. Echad miyodea. And that will really transform when we look at the Seder as we begin to go through that incredible process with our families and our children, realizing we have an incredible, incredible simcha of happiness, of joy. Yes, there are challenges this year, but we have to confront them, overcome them. We don't always have to have any of the answers. We don't need answers. We just need to have that emunah and that faith in Hashem that ultimately redemption will come. Have a wonderful, wonderful Chag Pesach, Kasher V'Sameach to you and all your families.